And coming at you with episode 4 of Idiosyncratic Transmissions. Shaping out to be an interesting episode for you. We've got some music, a little bit of news from the web, and a special interview. We'll be taking up most of the show with author of Podcasting Church, Paul Clifford, good friend of mine, and much more coming up on Idiosyncratic Transmissions.
Believe me if all those endearing young charms which I gaze on so fondly today were to change by tomorrow and fleet in my arms like fairy gifts fading away, thou would still be adored as this moment that let thy loveliness fade as it will. And around the dear ruin each wish of my heart would entwine itself fervently still. It is not while beauty and youth are thine own and thy cheeks unprofaned by a tear that the fervor and faith of our soul can be known, to which time has but made thee more dear. No, the heart which is truly loved never forgets, but as truly loves on to the close, as the sunflower turns to her God when he sets the same look which she gave when he rose.
And that was Alison Krauss with a little song called Believe Me If All Those Endearing Young Charms. Not sure exactly how that works out. Anyway, here's a few news and bits from the web this week. I don't want to take up too much time, as the interview itself does take up quite a bit of time. One of the things, Pace Magazine is back, now, Pace Magazine was a print magazine dedicated to new music, culture, books, media of all kind, and as the recession hit, they couldn't bring in the advertising dollars to support printing the magazine, so they shut down actually printing the magazine, but they kept going on their website at pacemagazine.com, and as such, they kept going and kept going, and as of last week, they're now releasing a digital form of sorts on a weekly basis of the magazine, including MP3 downloads and exclusive videos. Everything you kind of, everything that made the magazine good, but in a shorter, weekly digestible form. So check that out. That's M Player. If you go to pacemagazine.com, that's highlighted in the upper right hand corner. And it's where I kind of got hooked into listening to all sorts of new music. And so, check that out. Also, Noise Trade. If you haven't gone to that site, you're missing out on a lot, especially if you're a music fan. They've recently done an overhaul of their website, and they've brought some pretty big names in. Last week, they had a 4 or 5 song sampler from Brandi Carlile. And there's a lot of independent music on there, and it's all free. Now, this is free isn't free. There's no catch. There is the option of spreading the word about the band with some easy to use icons. There's also a tip jar for each artist, so if you like the music, you're encouraged to tip the artist and let them know you appreciate their hard work monetarily, and it works out better in the long run for the artist if these things continue to grow and continue to get our support as fans. They also had a 19, I believe, song sampler, Songs for Joplin. I have yet to download it, I'm ashamed to say. A lot of good music on there. And all donations for that album are going to Missouri for relief efforts in Joplin. So that's a good cause and good music. So check that out. And I'll have links to these sites in the show notes on Idiosyncratic Transmission's website. And in a final bit of news, this was just announced today, which is July 6, 2011. James Spader has signed on to become a regular cast member on The Office. He was one of the running players at the end of last year. If you caught the last episode of The Office, they were interviewing to replace Michael Scott, who had left the show. Steve Carell's character. And so James Spader's character was one of them, and if the early reports are any indication, his slightly weird and very charismatic character comes in and takes over as manager and gets promoted within days, at least according to the official release on that. So takes over as CEO of the company, and I'm gonna quit here in any moment, I'm sure. So looking forward to that. He played a very interesting character, kind of Alan from Boston Legal, and mixed with I don't know, Zen Master. So yeah, it was a very weird but fun character, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. And those are the brief notes for this episode. Here is the interview I did with Paul Clifford on his book, Podcasting Church. There will be a link to that website also in the show notes. And after that, some music and some closing thoughts here on Idiosyncratic Transmissions.
And to all the Idiosyncratic Transmission listeners, I have this very special guest on the show today. He's the owner of Trinity Digital Media, host of Techno Babble, and recently author of Podcasting Church, 21st Century Webcasting for a Timeless Message, Paul Clifford. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Doing well, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. So, tell me about the book.
Well, I had this idea for a book probably 3 or 4 years ago. I wrote a review on a book by a couple of the guys from Life Church called The Blogging Church. And while I am a blogger, I'm actually a little bit more of a podcaster. So I thought, hey, what if I wrote Podcasting Church? And that's about how far it went until November. And November is a national nonfiction writing month, or write a novel in November month. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll write it. And then I read a blog post about how procrastination is just you trusting your future self to be more reliable than your present self. And as it turns out, if you never do anything, your future self isn't more reliable. So I thought, well, that actually makes sense to me just in some way. So I sat down and thought, well, the challenge is write 1,800 words a day. That's basically a longish blog post. I can do that. So I did that, and 40 days later, I had this book.
Yeah, that was following along when you were doing that on the blog. I attempted something similar, at least with in the novel writing in the fiction category, but November happens to be a horrible month for me to do writing, so... It's 2 years in a row that I've tried to do that, and it's just not worked out. So the book is Podcasting Church. I haven't had a chance to read it past the first draft, but it's a good book. The first draft was good, and trying to think here. What audience would you see this book for?
Okay, that's a great question. This is not the end-all, be-all podcasting book. This isn't every tip and trick you need to know to create a Hollywood-style production that no one could tell the difference between for $100. That's not what this book is. This book is for the church that's heard of podcasting, thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe we ought to get into that. And they really don't know where to start. This book is great for that. For the intermediate person that maybe they have a podcast or they've been thinking about doing a podcast, they know a little something about it, but they need to dig in a little bit deeper, this is also a good book for them. There's kind of the basics. How do you start, you know, a computer, a headset microphone, you know, kind of beginnings. And then it just goes on from there. I mean, I even have an entire chapter on RSS, which is the delivery mechanism for podcasts. And I have an entire RSS feed so that you can see just the individual pieces. And I also have ideas on how not to touch that with a 10-foot pole if you don't want to. So, you know, it's kind of varied in that way.
And this book, it's an interesting mix of old school and new school, or old media and new media, because it's a book, which is obviously old media. And it's on podcasting, which is obviously new media. But I found it really interesting when I was flipping through it, and the alphabet or the index in the back, according to how the link showed up in the book, where you used the QR codes to be able to link out quicker to the different websites. What was the influence for that, or what made you think about using that?
Well, yeah, Matt. So as I was writing, and actually that was the last thing that I did before I hit the publish button. And I was looking at this, and I was talking to my editor, and we had some discussion about whether I should underline all the links. And I really wanted to, because I'm more of a web guy, but you clearly can't click on the paper book. So that left me with the problem. How do I get these links into the hands of the people? Especially, I mean, some of them are kind of obvious. YouTube.com is YouTube.com. But there's a couple of others that are less obvious, like LiveSync is home.live.com. Now, I don't know why Microsoft did it that way, maybe just because they're Microsoft and they figure that they can. But that was a little annoying to me, that it was named LiveSync but had a totally different URL. So I thought, well, how can I make it so that you could get to these URLs? I mean, some of them are even kind of long, like the iTunes link for my podcast, which is itunes.apple.com/us/podcast/technobabble. That's technobabble.technobabel-podcast/ID 76274055. I mean, who wants to type that in? I know I wouldn't. So I thought, well, QR codes are really starting to catch on. Why don't I just put in a QR code, and then people can go directly to any of these links, and they can know, hey, if it's underlined here in the book, it's a link that I can just flip to the back, pull out my iPhone, my Android phone, whatever smartphone you have that has a QR reader, and go directly to these links. And I just really like that as an idea. I think QR codes are starting to take off in a way that some of their predecessors, like the QCAT, never did.
Yeah, I remember when QCAT came out. I think it was Wired, maybe, it sent a bunch of those out. So I ended up getting one for some reason. It just never, and I never took to it. I mean, for the time, it was a pretty brilliant idea, but it just never found its footing, I don't think. But yeah, I'm seeing QR codes pop up a lot. I know here recently, the Louisville Museum of Science, they did the Star Trek Experience exhibit, and it was kind of counterintuitive. I mean, they had trivia questions throughout and had QR codes in there where you could get more information. which was funny because you're not supposed to be taking photographs in the exhibit, and if you've got a smartphone, you've got a camera most likely, so...
Yeah, anyway. And you can't really use a QR code with a phone that doesn't have a camera. I mean,
right.
I guess theoretically you could have a laser scanner, but who carries one of those around?
Yeah, it's impractical at best.
Yep.
So, let's see. Now you've been hosting the Technobabble podcast, as you mentioned there. Tell me a little more about that.
Okay, yeah. Technobabble is just basically, I envision it as a way to help other churches learn more about technology. I've been doing technology at my church for right around 10 years. So I started out when we had a projector, a computer that was donated from, I think, a doctor. And if we wanted to switch to something, we would use a wired remote to freeze the image on screen, switch around the necessary inputs, and then unfreeze it. And we started there, and now we've got a really nice video room in our main campus with, let's see here, 6 Macs, a Kulux system, which is the same video system that Willow Creek uses for their large screen we use for ours. And 4 cameras, capability of 5 or 6, just everything in between. So I was there from the time where we were kind of turning on the projector once per service for 5 minutes, then turning it off, all the way up to now where we've got this 40-foot screen on stage all the time doing something. So I'd like to help other churches that don't have that large breadth of experience, just to answer the simple questions that I don't even think about. We've got a couple of TVs in the lobby. Is there any way to turn them off remotely? Yes, actually there is. You know, that kind of thing where I have an idea and I record a podcast about it. And that way, my hope is at least that I can help some other churches just get the word out.
Sounds good. What are your influences? What kind of drove you, what kind of drives you on a daily basis to continue doing this?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was a teenager, I think I was probably 15, I was at a youth camp, and I really felt like God wanted me to use my life just full time. So that was 22, 23 years ago, and I did everything I could to follow in that, but I just haven't had an opportunity to do it until this February. And that's when I kicked off Trinity Digital Media full time. TrinityDigitalMedia.com had always been kind of a side project that I kept the blog up. I would podcast. I would do a lot of things, but it wasn't my main deal until February. The company I had been working with decided that, the nice low wages of people in Kentucky weren't good, so they would move all the jobs to California. And I just was not going. So they gave me a nice little severance package, which I took as seed money to start this company. I always had this in the back of my head. So I have a spare room off my bedroom, which is my studio. It's also my office now. And, I just hope that I can be a help to people who are just in the trenches trying to figure out how they can get $10,000 worth of good out of $50. And I've done that. so I know what it's like, and I just want to be a help.
You had some on the website, and let you plug this here. There was kind of an incentive package to get in on the ground floor, as it were, on ordering the book. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that some?
Yeah. So my idea is that the more copies I sell, the more each copy is worth. So for the first 100 people, they get a signed copy of the book. Now, you can't buy that on Amazon. You can buy the unsigned copy on Amazon, but I don't make as much money from Amazon, but I'm hoping, you know, people that don't know me might stumble upon it there. So first 100 people get a signed copy of the book. Person 101 on, in addition to a signed copy of the book, they also get the Kindle version of the book for free, which is a $9.99 value. I'm about to release that here any day now. I've got some final tweaks to make on the format. So if you'd like a paper copy and an electronic copy, you can get both for basically the price of the paper copy. And that works for the first 100 people as well. So person 101 gets a paper copy and the Kindle copy, but they, person 100 and person 99 do as soon as person 101 buys the copy. So the thought being, the first 100 people are more motivated to get their friends to buy copies because they get extra benefit. Well, that, I think it's at 251 is the next place. And there's something else that I'm blanking right now off the top of my head, what I've offered, but it's, let me see here, go to podcastingchurch.com and big link on the top, order Podcasting Church. Okay, here we go. So when I sell copy 251, the first 250 people and the subsequent however many others also get the audiobook. So if 251 people buy the book, all 251 of them get the paper version, the Kindle version, and the audiobook. If we make it to 501, then I'm throwing in HD versions of some video loops that I've created, which are about a $50 value. And if I sell 1,001 or more copies on the website, then all those people, everyone gets the whole package, remember. So everyone also gets the Kindle version of my next book, which I've got a couple of ideas. I haven't decided for sure which one I'm going to write, but I think I now know that I can, so I think I will write yet another book. So that'll be the next thing. So for your $14.95, and Matt, you bought a copy, so you're included, potentially you can get $80 worth of additional stuff. So I think that's kind of motivating.
Absolutely. I think it's a pretty solid plan all around. So, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to hoping that things work out and many, many copies are sold of the book, and not just for personal reasons either. So not for the personal gain, but
Right.
So, I guess, is there anything else, any other topics you want to bring up, anything you'd like to, any shout-outs you'd like to send out to anybody?
Well, I will mention that I've just gotten on a new board, so this is really germane to anyone who's interested at all in church technology. It's Church Tech Leaders. CTL.onthecity.org. And I believe the city is actually a board that's set up with the idea that it would be for churches to have their people connect online. So it's got some really great features. But what I find really interesting about it is just how quickly it's grown. It's only been up for 2 or 3 days, and we've already had big discussions on the new version of Final Cut Pro, which is the software that I use, and I've already been playing with it, and I've got a first look up on YouTube, hoping to get something else up. But so that's one example. I'm a video guy, so I think video type stuff. There's a discussion about presentation software. I'm writing an article for Technologies and Worship magazine coming out in August. And so I said, hey, I need some stories to go with this article, and we've gotten some good responses. There are boards based on what soundboard you use. And just, you know, little things where you might not know anyone that has the same struggles that you do, that uses the same piece of equipment and has the same annoyances with it that you do, or who has figured out a way around those annoyances. And just the community aspect is really great. I'm also a big fan of churchmedia.net, which I've been on for probably 8 or 9 years. And it's kind of the same thing. So I'd encourage anyone who is a church technology person just to consider going to some of those boards and participating. And you can get a lot of benefit out of it for absolutely no money. So that's something else I'd love to plug. Not that I make one red cent on those. I just love the community aspect of them and making friends that understand what I'm going through, you know?
Right. Yeah, and then the city's a pretty interesting piece of software. Our church I go to, we use it as our kind of, you know, I hate to say it this way, but it's probably the best explanation of any. It's kind of like Facebook for your church, basically. But it's got more capability than that. It's not necessarily keyed on the social, although the social's there, but it's a good piece for just like, you know, discussing upcoming events. And, the one thing, and I know, depending on the size of the church, there's like a classified system in there too. Our church really hasn't taken as much advantage of it, but, I know some of the bigger churches that use it, do. So, yeah, it's a great piece of software. I'll have to check that site out. It sounds interesting. So.
Yeah, it is. Well, I know. You speak about the classifieds. There's already a couple of tech director jobs up there. Well, I put a copy of the book up, of course, because this is what I do. And I also put up an advertisement for speaking gigs because I'm always looking for those. The last few times that I've done that, I've just gotten really great reviews from people, and I've even had people show up at my church to see what I was talking about from 3 and 4 states away. So I'm really passionate when I speak, and that's just something that I really look forward to. You probably can't really tell it from my style here on this little interview, but there are few things that get me more excited than a church that's impacting eternity. I mean, you mentioned my podcast. I always end that with go out and change eternity. And that's because I just think that that's what life is all about. If you're not changing eternity, what will remain when you're gone? I don't know how much longer I've got. I'm 37, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to get hit by a bus tomorrow or find out I've got cancer. Or on the other hand, find out, you know, after another 80 years that, oh, I was a long-lived person. But I just don't know that. I think at the end of my life, right now, I'm not going to look back and think, "Hey, I wish I'd mowed my grass more. My grass just wasn't very green." I don't think I'm going to think, you know, I wish that I'd spent more time watching TV. But I think that I'm going to think, okay, why did I let fear stop me from doing what I knew I was supposed to here? Why didn't I talk to this person there? And I think that that's really the whole thing, is how can you take people with you into the next life? How can you affect families? How can you make it so that a couple that's on the edge of divorce doesn't get a divorce? How can you help kids that think their parents hate them, whose parents just don't know what they're doing, like no parents do, because you don't get a manual when you have kids. I can attest to this. I think that's what drives me. That's what I look forward to more than anything. The thought that I could somehow help someone else and see the ripple effects of what I do years down the line, just as people have influenced me, people that a lot of whom have gotten to meet, but not everyone. And just that thought really excites me, that my life could be driven by this unending passion to change not just history, but eternity.
Very good.
You might have to cut that down a little bit.
Probably not. I like to just kind of play it by ear and throw it together. Unless I like leave a whole unholy large pregnant pause in the middle of something, and I tend to cut those out. But I do very little editing on the podcast, so.
Cool deal.
Well.
So what's the URL of your podcast, Matt?
It is www.idiosyncratictransmissions. I could spell that out, but it might take a while. .com. I'm not sure why I thought using the full name of the podcast for the actual domain name was a good idea. Because every time I have to type it out, I always inevitably make a typo somewhere. So,
I understand. You ought to get like a short code. You could sign into Bitly and get like bit.ly.com/. Idiotrans or something like that.
Yeah. We'll probably end up doing that at some point. The moment that it gets too annoying for me to type it out, some moment I'll look for a solution, because that's kind of who I am. I don't look for the easy solution until it absolutely drives me crazy going the long way around.
I understand.
Stubborn like that.
I'm the same way.
Well, Paul, I appreciate your time, and thank you for the interview. Anything else you'd like to add, or good?
No, I think I'm good. I also made a recording of this, actually a video, so I'll put that up on trinitydigitalmedia.com, where you can find Technobabble. But you can also get there at technobabbleshow.com, technobabbleshow.com. See, I have to spell it too. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate your time.
That was Cold Dead Night from The Rich Hands. Link to the band site in the show notes on idiosyncratic-transmissions.com. And that wraps up today's show. I'm telling you, the next couple weeks we'll have another all-music show. I hope you enjoyed the last one. And with this, I guess episode 5 will be next. I'll actually try and get the show into iTunes to help you guys out, so you have another option, another avenue to listen to the show. As always, music provided by Music Alley from Mevio at www.musicalley.com. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. No, I think that's pretty much it. Hope you have a good week. Hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed putting it together. Definitely go out and check out the book Podcasting Church at www.podcastingchurch.com.